Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, for those of you who are maybe driving home right now, either from work, nobody's working, right? They're still in holiday mode, and you were tempted to turn off the Mark Reardon Show and turn on the Sugar Bowl. It's a blowout, just like all these other games. Notre Dame is up 20-3 right now over Georgia down in New Orleans, so not a very compelling game. Stick right here. We're going to talk about a lot this hour, including some of the things that are happening in St. Louis County with the shenanigans as Wesley Bell leaves office to go to Congress. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and my former councilman, Tim Fitch, will join at the bottom of the hour. All of this will be discussed on the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. Jane Duker will be here. Former Senator Jeff Smith and former current state senator, almost demoted him, Nick Shore, Paul Hall, with some entertainment stuff. I watched a bunch of movies and television over the 10 days that I took off here, and I have some personal recommendations myself tomorrow. Cusimano will be here on sports, and Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. Still a lot of questions about what's happening in Las Vegas and New Orleans. We always love Senator John Kennedy.
I don't want to hear from anybody in the federal government that they don't have the resources. I want to give them a reasonable period of time, but they need to saddle up and ride. We need to find out what happened here, and it's not going to be covered up.
Our friend Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com, is on the line from the left coast this evening. I love Senator Kennedy. Isn't he awesome?
I love Senator Kennedy. When he first walked up to the podium, and somebody to his left immediately started shouting a question to him. And he asked him, so what media are you from? And they told him what station. It was like a local New Orleans media. And then somebody else says, and you're from CBS, and you're from ABC. And then off to his right in the background, some reporter says, and NBC's over here. And he looks over to his right, and he says, well, that's an unusual position for NBC, meaning to his right.
Yes, yes.
And everybody in the room chuckles, except for the NBC reporter who says, well, I don't get it. And he doesn't miss even a half a second and looks at her and says, well, you wouldn't. It was great.
But by the way, there were a couple of things, as you know, a couple of dynamics happening at the same time. Not only was that happening, but he was also kind of muscling out this FBI PIO that was there on the stage and basically taking over for her, wasn't he?
He pretty much was not happy about her at all. And he was wanting the grown-ups to show up. And apparently there's now an actual FBI special agent in charge that's on the scene. But even that person is still kind of waffling, because it went from there's a bunch of other persons of interest to, oh, nope, he's a lone wolf, he acted alone, we're done here.
I don't get it. You and I are going to talk about politics here in a second, but here's what we know today. This is an Army veteran, Shamsuddin Jabbar. He's a U.S. citizen from Texas. They say he posted 5 videos on his Facebook account in the hours before the attack. So, yeah, to your point, Dwayne, yesterday they're saying, well, wait, maybe he was working with others. Today, he worked alone. Now, are you telling me that they're saying that there's no coordination between the dude in Vegas and this guy? Because that seems too coincidental, given all the facts.
Running the trucks from the same app right around the same period of time, both having crossed in through Fort Bragg. That's a lot of coincidences. And I have a hard time buying that many of them. I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. And I'm willing to buy that, you know, that this guy may have had a bad marriage that broke up because he went crazy and went jihad. But to ignore the fact that the guy is Muslim and was studying at a Houston mosque, which is fairly well known to be a pretty radical mosque, I think you're kind of glossing over what's really going on here. Do we have an active cell? Almost certainly we have cells of bad guys running around the country.
Yeah, and I think that this, you know, look, the Sugar Bowl, as I indicated, is taking on right now. I don't know how I feel if I'm down there in New Orleans. You know, there's these questions about the bollards that were not, you know, implemented, which that's confusing as well, because that was the first thing I thought of. Why don't they have things that would block or prevent cars from going down some of those roads? I've been down at the French Quarter. Wouldn't seem to be that difficult, and apparently it's not that difficult, and that will certainly be happening by the time of the Super Bowl. It just wasn't in effect yesterday.
Right. And you got to think that when it comes time to Mardi Gras, they're going to have a lot of those barricades up too. Right. I mean, there's maybe you can pass off a lot of that as simple incompetence. The 104-year-old police commissioner of New Orleans.
Yeah. What's up with her, by the way?
Do you know where she comes from?
No, I do not.
Do you know where? Oakland. She used to run Oakland's PD. California.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good thing to have on your resume, right?
You see, I'm thinking not.
No, that's, you know, because I was confused by her. I was actually confused by a bunch of the people that were in New Orleans doing some of the talking. Let's go to Las Vegas. Okay, so what are your thoughts here? And one of the things that's circulating out there, and I don't think this is necessarily conspiratorial because the technology would allow it, but the guy was shot in the truck. They said he was shot before the explosion. So was he shot even before that? Did they let the self-driving feature pull up to the valet at Trump Hotel?
No, what it's looking to me like, and the last that I've seen, is that he shot himself, and then the bomb went off. It was a glorified suicide. He went there and he died of a self-imposed gunshot wound, and then the truck
right.
blew up.
But the question is, you know, because people are saying, look, these Cybertrucks, they can drive themselves. Did he shoot himself? Not that it would even matter. Maybe it wouldn't matter at all if he shot himself even, you know, in a time period that was earlier than right before when the bomb went off. But outside of that, okay, what's that one all about? Is that just completely coincidental to New Orleans?
Is it possible? Sure. Again, I don't believe in coincidences unless I can I see more evidence that there are coincidences. I like what the Las Vegas police chief has been saying about it. McMahill, I think is his name. He said that there's a lot of coincidences to him, and he's not willing to rule out that there's a link yet. I know the FBI in New Orleans wants to rush to that judgment after exactly a day and a half on the job. But he's like, we've got a long way to go to investigate this. I'm not ruling anything in or out at this point. And that seems to me the sane approach to this.
Yeah, I think that what we've learned, though, and we certainly saw this in the past year, you know, somebody brought this up, too. We still don't know a damn thing about this Thomas Crooks guy from the first assassination attempt. There's been so many things where you have no confidence in the information that's being, you know, transmitted or broadcast, and that's not going to lead to a good situation moving forward. Now, we're going to move to politics here in a second. Before I get to that, I have to bring this up because I haven't mentioned it yet on the show. Before I left for the holiday, and we might remember this, Dwayne Patterson, weren't we talking a lot about these freaky, scary drones out on the East Coast? And that story's kind of evaporated, hasn't it?
It sure has. It's a funny thing when you have a bunch of terror attacks, then all of a sudden people forget about the things flying around New Jersey. I was still struck because when you did the intro of me, you mentioned that you were gone for 10 days. I want that gig. I've been doing national radio for 30 years. I don't get 10 days off in a row. How do you get that?
The truth of the matter is I did not take a significant vacation in 2024. So I had a bunch of days and I worked up until Christmas Eve and then I took the rest of the week off and through the weekend. So I'm counting the weekend days. I didn't take all those, but it was nice to have that off because no one wants to work down the holidays anyway.
God bless America.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly commend you on that.
I don't even want to be here today, if I'm being honest. Nobody wants to be working, right? We just want to kind of get through the weekend, enjoy football. We got a big snowstorm coming here to Missouri, so we're excited about that as well. But let's talk about Mike Johnson. I reached out to one of our new members of Congress, Congressman Bob Onder, who's taken over for Blaine Lukemeyer, who was a longtime member of Congress from the mid-Missouri area. The district that Bob's in right now, Dwayne, cuts very uniquely, as many of these congressional districts do, right in here to the St. Louis area, St. Charles County, but all the way into the middle part of the state where Boone County is as well. And I checked in, and he said he is. And Bob's kind of a Freedom Caucus-y type of guy, but he's voting for Mike Johnson. And his comment to me earlier today in a text message, and I think all of the Missouri delegation is on board with Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. He goes, not happy with the CR debacle, but I think we need to choose our team and get to work. And Dwayne, it seems like that's sort of what's happening right now. There seems to be a coalescing around Johnson, doesn't there?
It seems to me that things are moving that direction. Now, if you compare it to the speaker battle from last year when the knucklehead caucus threw out Kevin McCarthy and went through a 15-vote, three-week odyssey before Mike Johnson, you know, sent up the white smoke up the chimney. What I think you had then that you didn't have now is all the members of the knucklehead caucus, whether it's Eli Crane, Andy Biggs, Boebert, Andrew Clyde, Michael Cloud, even Eric Burleson, who I think is isn't he kind of in your neck of the woods?
He is. Eric Burleson is he's down in the boot heel. Or actually, now, the opposite end of that. He's on the other side, the southwestern part of the state.
They had no problem a year ago bashing Kevin McCarthy, and they started piling on, and you could see the critical mass that they weren't just trying to issue their list of demands of what they wanted, but they were saying a lot of bad things publicly online and saying Kevin McCarthy can't do it. He's this, he's that, he's whatever. I disagree with all of that, but that's what they were saying then. If you'll notice this time around, the only one that is saying anything negative, I mean personally negative about Mike Johnson, is Tom Massey.
Yeah, Kentucky.
And he's, to me, he's about as worthless as a hubcap on a tractor. I don't have much use for him, okay?
He's so, kind of taken over that role of Matt Gaetz, right?
He is now the de facto chairman of the Knucklehead Caucus, right? And so, but there's a bunch of other people that are supposedly on the fence. Even Chip Roy, Tim Burchett, Greg Stubbe, all these guys are on the fence. Victorious Sparks. A couple dynamics have been happening in the last 24 hours. Number one, Donald Trump has been working the phones all day.
For Johnson.
Every one of these people.
Right? For Mike Johnson.
For Johnson. And here is where Trump is at his best, working the phones. Because what is Trump before all else? He's a real estate developer, right? He wants to get a building built in a place where there are 1,001 obstacles to get that building built, whether it is contractors, unions, whether it is city government, state government, federal government, the agencies, fish and wildlife, whatever the obstacle is, his job as a real estate developer is to keep working the phones and clear those hurdles one at a time and do what he
That's
has
right.
to do. That's
yep.
where he excels, right?
Yeah.
How is this any different?
It's
How
not.
How is this any different?
And I think that's what he's going to – I think he's working the phones effectively. I mean, what we're hearing is he called – I know that he was on the record with Chip Roy today, and I think Chip Roy might have swerved in the other direction. So this will be fascinating to see. Look, the bottom line is what Congressman Onder said. There's work to be done. This is a distraction. We don't need this right now. There's no way that Johnson was going completely rogue a couple of weeks ago during the CR. I don't know the whole story about that, but Trump was definitely involved in trying to guide, you know, everyone through that. So maybe the truth of the matter will come out, but I don't think it's a good time to switch speaker, and I wasn't sure about Mike Johnson to begin with, but this would be a debacle to move in another direction right now.
It would be, and I think, and I know we're running short of time, but I think what would be something in Mike Johnson's favor at this point is all of the events of the last 24, 48 hours, the attack in New Orleans, the bombing Cybertruck in Vegas, all the shooting in the nightclub in Queens, all this sense of, oh my God, everything's falling apart at the seams. That's actually kind of galvanizing the Knucklehead Caucus, and they're realizing we need a new team in there. Is this really the time to do a hostage situation without being able to issue a list of ransom demands? They can play this card any time over the next 2 years. Because there's still only going to be a slim majority, even after they fill a couple of special election seats. They're still only going to have two or three, maybe a four-seat majority at the most. You can still play that card and vacate the chair and do whatever and play your stunt. Now is not the time. And I think a lot of members are looking at the events and saying, oh, my goodness, we have got to get this team out and get a new team in pronto. I don't want to be on the wrong side of preventing the election from being the electoral votes being counted and getting the process moving.
Right.
I don't want to delay Trump.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Look, one thing that you mentioned that I wanted to give a little attention to, because we haven't mentioned it on the show at all. We've been talking about Las Vegas, New Orleans, and some of the other things. We had an interesting shooting here in downtown yesterday morning at 3 in the morning that we focused on. But you mentioned New York City. So this happened. There were 10 people that were shot Wednesday night outside of this nightclub. And this was a memorial for a teenager who had been killed in the city. And these guys roll up and start opening up fire. I don't know if anyone was killed in that, but a lot of people were taken to the hospital. But that's being glossed over, I think, is part of your point as well. That's just, it's not even, we're so desensitized. 10 people in a mass shooting in New York City doesn't even barely scratch the surface.
It barely scratched the surface. And this afternoon, right before I hopped on with you, there's an 18-wheeler isolated on a highway in South Carolina because they think there's a bomb on board.
Oh.
And they've completely shut down they've shut down the highway on both sides. There's all sorts of crazy stuff going on right now.
I had not heard about that one. By the way, you want to give a shout out to Sue Thomas, who's here today. Last time you were on, Sue was off, and I think you were quite thrown off by that, Dwayne, because you're a fan.
Hi, Dwayne.
I am a fan of Sue. I was I'm glad that she's here in the studio and not actually on that semi truck out in South Carolina.
Because, so am I.
You never know.
Well, her ears perked up, though, because you had not heard about that one either.
No, I'm going in.
Yeah. So we have, I know that you don't ever have to deal with this, but we got snow and ice that we're going to have to confront this weekend. And that's a lot of fun to drive in, Dwayne Patterson, for someone who lives in California.
You know what we have here? We have actually San Francisco fog. We actually have damp fog here to contend with. We have damp fog at 57 temperatures. Winter has struck here. Winter
Boo-hoo.
Is not coming. Winter
yeah, no
is
kidding.
Here.
Wait, can I ask a question, a point of clarification? Is there a dry fog?
Yes, there is a dry fog. We have a dry fog. It's called June.
Oh, okay. Dwayne, Happy New Year. Always great to have you on. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
We'll see you. I have a computer sitting next to me right now full of audio that I have not used, and I'm going to get to some of it here, like my friend Scott Jennings on the legacy of Jimmy Carter. I said in the 4 o'clock hour, if you can't say anything nice, you know, weren't we taught that? So I didn't say anything about Jimmy Carter. I'll let Jennings say it here in a couple of minutes. But also a lot of audio from, you know, some of the investigations in New Orleans and in Las Vegas as well. And along those lines, let's welcome in former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, who is also a former county councilman. There's a lot of local stories that we can talk about. But Happy New Year, Chief. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mark.
Let's kind of, before we get to the local angle with the new prosecutor, just reaction to New Orleans and Las Vegas and these two different cases, which may be related. We're not exactly sure because there's been a lot of confusion in the last 24 hours, hasn't there?
Definitely. And I think there was a lot of pre-planning that they did in New Orleans, but they didn't think it all the way through. And I hate to be critical after the fact on situations like this, but they probably set up that area in the French Quarter, and I've been there many times, like they have 100 times and nothing bad happened. And this is one of those situations where this guy or people took advantage of that. And I have seen the video where he goes around the police car that's blocking Bourbon Street and then drives down the Bourbon Street and striking all the people. And yes, they should have had that sidewalk covered and they did not. When I did the Bush Gore presidential debates at Washington University, we used St. Louis County Department of Transportation trucks, like snowplows and dump trucks.
Oh, right, right.
And we blocked all those roads around the access to the gymnasium there at Washington University and included the sidewalks. We drove those trucks up onto the sidewalks. So you had a choice if you wanted to get around, hit a brick wall or hit one of those dump trucks. So nobody was getting through there. So this individual probably did. We've talked before about how these individuals plan these things, and he did some surveillance and watched to see where the openings were and took advantage of it. Simple as that.
So when you, that's interesting what you said about the debates. Was that protocol that was implemented from the feds? Was that something you guys came up with? How did that happen?
That is something they, since we took care of all the exterior, the perimeter roads of Washington University, that was up to us to secure. So I had to go to the Secret Service and tell them what my plan was of what I wanted to do to protect the venue. And they said, that sounds good to us. Go ahead and do it. Now, we did keep a driver in each of those vehicles in case we had to move the truck quickly to, like, for example, when the motorcade came in, two motorcades came in for both candidates, we had to move the trucks to allow them by there. And if there was any kind of emergency, like an ambulance needed to get in or anything like that, we had the drivers readily available. So they may not have had that kind of manpower and equipment available to them in New Orleans, or they thought we probably won't need it. We haven't needed it the 100 other times we've done this. So they just, I wouldn't tell you they played it cheap. But they didn't, you know, think of like the 911 commission report. I don't know if you've ever read that thing. It was a failure of imagination is why 911 happened. Now, can you block off the sidewalks of Bourbon Street and then somebody land a drone and explode it in the middle of Bourbon Street? And we hadn't thought about that. Sure. We could do this all day long. But what ifs?
Yeah, it's you almost feel like, you know, you mentioned 9/11. So I thought about this even a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I'll say this out loud because I think a lot of people are thinking it to themselves. When there was that attack in Germany at the Christmas market with the, you know, the guy that plowed over a bunch of people. And then I thought back instantly to what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin a few years ago in that, you know, Thanksgiving Day parade. And I think I've thought to myself, man, I'm surprised, you know, Chief, that this doesn't happen more often where someone uses the car as the weapon, because you can see how damaging it can be and how much damage you can inflict in a short time. So it may not surprise me that this is happening, but then you kind of go down the path where I've even heard some public officials refer. Are we going to have this reaction now where everything that happens in every major, you know, city, whether it's a parade or a big festival or, you know, whatever we have left here in St. Louis, because we don't have a Lou Fest or anything like that anymore, where you have more protections that are put in like this to barricade the areas?
How many times have you been to Mardi Gras in Soulard? Wouldn't that be an opportunity? Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. That would be an opportunity because you have all those rows and rows and rows of people lined up. And the only thing separating them from the road is bicycle racks. And those are crowd control. Just like that New Orleans police vehicle, that was parking control and access control. It wasn't terrorist control. So they didn't set it up thinking a terrorist could attack. They set it up thinking we don't want anybody to enter this area because there's pedestrians you know, those type of things. So I don't think they went into it thinking, but I guarantee you now, anytime there's a big event where there's lots of people on foot, and by the way, the Christmas market thing in Germany, the Berlin Christmas market, I mean, I don't know why anybody goes to a Christmas market anymore in Germany, because that's where these things continue to happen over and over and over. So when I do the active assailant training in Europe, I talk to them about vehicle attacks, not so much firearm attacks. So I was kind of expecting to hear President.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was kind of expecting to hear President Biden say we need to outlaw all the F-150s so this doesn't happen again. I didn't hear anything like that this time.
Let me move to, and point well taken, I get it there. Let me move to Vegas. Any interesting observations there? Because it certainly seems like maybe these are related, but they're not definitively saying that. There's coincidences, perhaps. Thoughts on that, Chief?
Well, the relation would be, at the very least, you use a Musk vehicle in front of a Trump building, and you blow yourself up. I mean, it doesn't have to be directly related to what happened in New Orleans, but Mark, you've heard me talk about this before on Pathway to Violence. When you have one of these incidents happen, like New Orleans, there's a very high likelihood within 2 weeks another one will happen, another type of event. Because as I describe it, people like the guy in Las Vegas are sitting on the edge of their seats just waiting to do something, and that kind of inspires them to do it. Doesn't have to have the same ideology of the guy in New Orleans, but it pushes them over the edge. They're like, now's my time. Look at all the response. The country is focused on this. I can do this in front of Trump Tower and make a name for myself. That's why they do these things.
Former San Luis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, you no doubt saw the video and heard the audio of the shooting outside the Wheelhouse, which used to be Joe Buck's restaurant right down on Spruce, not too far from Busch Stadium. And reaction to that, which is pretty typical, certainly on holidays in the middle of the night in St. Louis.
You know, another reason why there's no good reason to go to downtown St. Louis after dark. It's as simple as that. When you have these kind of events going on down there, these things continue to happen. And you might ask, why is a Ledington, Missouri police officer working secondary security at a downtown St. Louis site?
Yes.
My guess is because the St. Louis Police Department is too short-staffed to be able to cover that, or they don't want to cover it because they know the type of issues that are going to happen there. So it will attract some of the lower-paid police departments from the region. That's pretty far away, Ludington. But these guys are probably making more on their side gig than they're making at the police department in Ludington, would be my guess. So that's why they continue to be able to attract people, officers like that. And I'm not saying that's a negative thing. The officers, best I could tell from the video, you know, were doing the job that they were hired to do. But the real question is why do you have a Ludington police individual, yeah, you know, working in the city of St. Louis? And I put that right back on the city.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, now to our St. Louis County stories. The first one, I talked to Jane about this. We're going to cover it on the roundtable tomorrow. The felony charges that have now been issued against St. Louis County Clerk Diane Valenti in this whole Dennis Hancock situation. Am I missing something here? What the hell is going on? This is baffling.
This is all political. There's no doubt about it. It's lawfare as I see it. I will tell you that I would assume tomorrow, is it tomorrow? I think it is tomorrow Wesley Bell gets sworn in, right, in
yep.
Congress?
Yeah, I think so.
I would assume, and I would assume that the new prosecuting attorney, Melissa Smith, will be sworn in tomorrow as well and
she
take
will.
Her seat.
Right.
Take her seat as the prosecuting attorney of St. Louis County. And I would assume Sam Page will have Court Van Osteren do the exact same thing, trying to say, well, we have two different prosecutors now until the Supreme Court, unless they have an opportunity to hear this between now and swearing in tomorrow. It'll be
interesting to see what
happens tomorrow.
You think the dynamic, so just to catch people up, though, there was an appellate ruling today that upheld the lower ruling that says that Governor Parson has the power to appoint the next St. Louis County prosecutor. But it would be an interesting why does Sam want to do this? I mean, you know him better than I do. What the hell is going on? So he wants to make this a big circus and have the other prosecutor up there. Even Wesley Bell issued a statement before Christmas saying, look, I'm kind of out of this deal right now. Melissa would be a great prosecutor.
Yeah, well, I think what Wesley did is he's doing like a typical politician trying to cover all bases. However, I also agree that Melissa would be the best person for that role, and I think she'll do a great job. And I think she needs to take her rightful place in that seat tomorrow after Wesley is officially out. And so my guess is Diane Valenti case will go away shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I think you told me that a couple of weeks ago. But how about, you know, this dynamic where even the crazy, kooky people like Lisa Clancy think that that's pretty effed up?
Yeah, but you got to understand Sam's ego. That's number one priority, and he will use unlimited tax dollars to support his ego. And for him, a win is a win is a win, no matter who's paying for it. And by the way, I would challenge anybody to tell me of one case that Sam Page has filed where he's won. I'll wait.
Well, that's a good, you know what? But see, that's the playbook, right? He doesn't really sometimes care if he wins. They just do what they're going to do.
That's right. It's your money. It's your tax dollars. It's my tax dollars. We're paying for this. And the council, I think you're going to see some serious changes on the council when that new council comes on board next week. They're going to stop him from being able to hire attorneys just at his own whim to do things like these kind of lawsuits.
Yeah.
They're going to stop it.
Chief Tim Fitch, thank you so much for the updates this afternoon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, take care. Let me get a little, because I have audio cut of the day coming up here in a second. We'll eliminate some of the contenders, but I do want to get some of the audio from New Orleans and Las Vegas that I haven't aired today. This is down in New Orleans where, and here's the other thing that's interesting. I think the guy's name is Raya, but the FBI guy is named Christopher Raya. So it's not like W-R-A-Y, but it's R-A-I-A, which is kind of confusing.
This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act. We do not assess at this point that anyone else involved in this attack is involved in this attack except for Shamsuddin Jabbar.
So they acknowledge the ISIS connection.
Investigators believe Jabbar picked up the rented F-150 in Houston, Texas on December 30th. He then drove from Houston to New Orleans on the evening of the 31st. And he posted several videos to an online platform proclaiming his support for ISIS. There were five videos posted on Jabbar's Facebook account, which are time-stamped beginning at 1:29 a.m. and the last at 3:02 a.m. In the first video, Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers, end quote. Additionally, he stated he had joined ISIS before this summer. He also provided a will and testament.
You know, I mentioned Sue earlier. We lost a member. Odyssey is a big broadcasting company. We have radio stations all around the country. We did lose a member of our company, Billy DeMeo, who's 25 years old, an Odyssey employee at one of the stations in the cluster that we have down in New Orleans. He was an account executive. This guy, Christopher Ray, talked about the truck and what was recovered.
Three phones linked to Jabbar have been recovered, and digital media exploitation is a priority to see what is on the devices and determine if there are any other potential leads. We have recovered two laptops and are currently reviewing them for any potential leads.
So this is the guy that swoops in after yesterday's debacle with the people that don't seem like they're competent at all down in New Orleans. But one of the things that everybody recognized pretty quickly is, no, there's no terrorism here. Wait a second. Isn't that an ISIS flag that we're seeing?
Evidence technicians will also be going over the F-150 truck Jabbar was driving. As you know, we recovered an ISIS flag from the back of the vehicle. Jabbar declared his support for the terrorist group on social media, as I stated before, as he made his way to New Orleans.
So what happened here, and what was the situation with the bollards in particular? There are these things that were being worked on, you know, to prevent cars from going into high, you know, populated areas with pedestrians, but they were working on all this technology, apparently.
We were able to build in bollard replacement into our Super Bowl infrastructure package. The city of New Orleans has moved forward with that infrastructure. It is nearing completion. Bollards were not up because they are near completion, with the expectation of being completed.
We knew that these were malfunction, so we did indeed have a plan, but the terrorist defeated it.
How about that for leadership down in New Orleans? Now, the first woman sounded, she was the police chief, she sounded like she was Kamala Harris there. Just word salad, right?
Yep.
So they weren't functioning. You couldn't use them at all. I think what Chief Fitch said was probably right. They, you know, you get into this complacency. We certainly saw it in Butler, Pennsylvania, right? There's complacency.
For sure.
We've done this a bunch of times, but how you can't be on high alert, and I'm not blaming law enforcement. This is certainly a command situation. There were plenty of cops down there and hopefully a lot of people that were trying to prevent bad things from happening. But I think we're learning very, very, you know, quickly here that the leadership is not what should probably be, you know, in effect down there in New Orleans or anywhere else. This is what Paul Morrow says. I think he's going to join us tomorrow. He says they blew it down there.
The truth of the matter is you can't secure every location in every city. But in this case, we don't have to speculate. The superintendent herself said we kind of blew it.
Yeah, she admitted it.
But New Orleans definitely needs to do, I would argue, is a couple of things. They have to look very hard at the protocols that were defeated here. Just as NYPD learned a lot the hard way post 9/11. We should be sharing all of that stuff, and you would have hoped it was going on before the event, learning how to secure, especially in regard to, let's say, a vehicle-borne attack like this, because we've been seeing them around the world.
I think I was alluding to this earlier, Sue, but we've come to a point, especially this week, where I do think you're going to have more people advocating for more strict measures at big events. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but what I am saying is that what we do, you know, the 9/11 connection is interesting to me because we're great at overreacting. And certainly we had an issue when you realize the terrorists were running amok in this country and they were training themselves to be pilots and then they were, you know, flying planes into buildings. But I'm still not extremely convinced that the Department of Homeland Security, which is a monstrous government bureaucracy, has really helped us be a lot safer in this country. Now, we all have to go through this situation. We get on airplanes and we have to cooperate. But I've said this before, not to plant ideas in the terrorist minds. I just don't think 60 Minutes did a story about this years ago. It wouldn't be that difficult. If you really wanted to plot something, you could get in probably through the back door where they deliver magazines and food, and they don't have the level of security that you would expect in a situation like that. Yeah, we got the TSA agents making people take off their shoes, but that's probably not where the terrorists are hanging out anyway these days.
Our border has been pretty much wide open for the last 4 years. I mean, it wouldn't have been that difficult to get in.
No.
Now, in defense of Homeland Security, because I don't know anything either, but there may be stuff that we don't know about that they prevent. I don't know.
You would hope so.
Right?
I would think
there'd be a lot of that, too.
Yeah, but man, I'm, you know,
but you're right.
Just
it's
listening
impossible. It's
listening
an impossible
to yesterday.
Job.
just listening to the news reaction or the reaction from the officials down there left me, and this is coming off of 2024, and let's face it, we got Butler in 2024. You have all the other things that have happened with, you know, respect to experts in the last 4 years. You can go back to COVID or whatever. But there was no sense that I had in listening to these experts, the police officials in New Orleans, that anyone knew what the hell they were doing in any way, shape, or form. They just sounded completely lost.
Yeah.
It sounded like, you know, Keystone Cops down there.
Oh,
that's why the guy from the FBI kind of swoops in today and tries to take it in another direction. But I don't even think he was the best spokesperson up there pounding his fist on the table. Then there's Las Vegas. And, you know, they admitted that there's similarities.
We do know that our subject here served in the military. In fact, he's a current member of the military. Both of the subjects served at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. What we do know about that is it's a very large military base, and we have no record that they served in the same unit or even at the same years at Fort Bragg, something that continues to remain under investigation. I also know that they both served in Afghanistan in 2009. We don't have any evidence that they were in the same province in Afghanistan, the same location, or the same unit. Again, something else that remains under investigation. And we also know, of course, that they both used the rental company Turo to rent their vehicles.
So those are all the connections.
Huh.
And it, is all of that a coincidence? That's just very difficult for me to believe. Now, the other thing, and I covered this earlier, that, you know, these Cybertrucks are just so ugly. They really are.
But that's the point.
That is the point. And I guess the reason I bring it up is because this guy even pointed out that, you know, the truck itself only suffered damage inside.
The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken by that blast.
That's amazing. And I didn't even realize
it
that until
amazing.
That guy said that. Now, the other thing that's interesting from a police standpoint, and this is where you have to wonder how anyone thinks they can get away with a crime in this day and age, but they have this truck and they can highlight it when they were holding this news conference, pulling down this part of the strip, pulling into this area, and then all of a sudden coming back to Trump Tower or to the Trump Hotel because they had been there before. And I start to think about, Sue, and you can even point to several things. We've mentioned a couple here. The assassination attempt in Butler, the Brian Thompson assassination. All of these things are caught on video.
Yeah.
What happened in New Orleans, what happened in Las Vegas. Video is putting a big exclamation point on all these things because everything is captured now by a camera somewhere.
It is, whether it's somebody's phone or an actual camera. But as Tim Fitch said, you know, that's what these people want, is the attention. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a plus for them. If they're going to take themselves out, they don't care.
14 people dead in New Orleans. There are still at least 20 people in the hospital. Then in Las Vegas, it's a miracle that nobody else was killed except for the guy that put a bullet in his head and then blew up the Cybertruck. We got an audio cut of the day coming up next. All right, we're going to wrap up a Thursday edition of the show. We're kind of segueing back into everything after being off for a little bit. Sue, you were off before Christmas, so you weren't off last week. But, you know, it's kind of everyone... Well, I put it this way. Nobody wants to work. No one wants to be doing their real thing. They want to be in holiday mode still.
It's true. It's okay to be working those holidays, though, because it's so weird and no one's there and there's no traffic. It's okay. You know what I mean?
I took a good portion of Christmas down in the last couple of days, and I was saddened by it. I really was, because I love Christmas, and I'm
sort of
the person that takes charge with a lot of the decorations. But then I have this tree that's down in the basement, just one of the fake trees. We have a real one upstairs and another fake one. But as I took it down, then when I come down to the basement, I saw that tree lit up every time I went down.
I know.
Now, I'm going to kind of ease into an audio cut of the day from my friend Scott Jennings, because I haven't aired this yet. But let me ask you for a little Christmas present protocol, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do something for Jennings because he does so much for me and for us. So I packaged up a pretty cool, he's a Cardinals fan, we always talk Cardinals, a nice little gift pack for him. And I sent it to Kentucky. Well, I didn't hear anything. Like, it was supposed to get there on Christmas Eve. I lost my tracking slip. So I think it was Sunday. I said, hey, Jennings, Santa lost his tracking slim, wants to know. And then his response was, we're not home yet. I think he was out of town.
Okay, okay.
Home on the 31st. Well, that was Tuesday. So I still haven't heard. I mean, is it proper protocol for someone, if they get a Christmas present, to reach out and thank the person or not? Because I don't want to make him feel bad, but I'm also wondering if the damn thing got there.
Yeah, I know. That's a real thing. Okay, I have two thoughts on this.
Okay.
One is that maybe he's a thank you note writer and will actually get one in the mail.
Not a chance. Okay. No way. Then, he doesn't have time for that. I already know that. We'll eliminate that option.
Then I think it's
he's probably just busy. And the other thing is he probably had to go right back to the CNN stuff. So,
well, that's true.
It was a pretty cool gift.
It's okay
pack
to ask
him,
because
though.
You really are worried just about delivery.
I'll ask eventually. I just didn't want to bother him today. But let's hear from him today in this segment here.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, Jimmy Carter passed away during the period that I was gone, and I guess there's a big funeral
state
day next.
I just said state sale. funeral.
Right,
state
next Thursday.
Funeral.
Aren't they even closing down the markets?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that's what I heard. But here's Jennings on Jimmy Carter.
He was a terrible president. That's why he lost in a landslide after his one term. And if it's possible, I think he was even a worse ex-president because of his meddling in U.S. foreign policy, because of his saddling up to dictators around the world, because of his vehement views, anti-Israel views, and more than dabbling in anti-Semitism over the years. He often vexed Democrats. Obama didn't even have him speak at his 08 convention. He put Bill Clinton in a terrible foreign policy box on a North Korea nuclear issue. I think he was a guy who had a huge ego and believed that he was uniquely positioned to do all these things, even after the American people had roundly and soundly rejected his leadership. So I respect people who run for president and get elected president, but in his particular case, I think he time and again proved why he was never suited for the office in the first place.
Somebody had to tell the truth, and Jennings did it on CNN. There's your audio cut of the day. We got a roundtable tomorrow at 3. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.